welcome to a brand new episode of Injury Time, or like how Sandeep says it, Injury Time Extra, isn't it?
Yeah, Injury Time Extra, where this is an extra episode for this week. We'll have the normal podcast today, tomorrow or day after, depending on the situation in Bangalore and when the match gets over, BFC's AFC match. BFC's match, there's some situation, and when we get to know more, we'll do that post that match. So,
but more about this episode, it's an interview.
It's an interview with Cameron Watson's
new midfielder.
Yeah, the Australian Cameron Watson. He spoke to us for around half an hour.
Yeah, it was pretty lengthy.
It's a long interview, and we just wanted to listen to him talk about his time in FC Porto as a youth academy player.
Starting off in Australia with the National Institute.
Yes, he's a Rangers fan.
Yeah.
Which is...
probably had a difficult time last week.
Yeah, when we spoke to him, the match hadn't happened with Celtic, but he was looking forward to it. I suppose emotions have changed now.
Yeah.
But either way, we look forward to listening to this, and I hope you have fun. So, you've been here for a while now, a little over a month, so how has it been adjusting to the conditions in India and the team?
Yeah, it's been really good, actually. Obviously, different weather conditions coming from Melbourne, so it's winter there. They just finished winter, so getting used to the warmer climate was took a couple of weeks, but used to it now. And in terms of the team and training, it's been really good since I've got here. You know, all the boys have been very welcoming, and everyone at the club and the coaches, the coaching staff, medical staff have been really good. And a lot of good things to say.
Can you also like a little bit about how this move come about?
Yeah, so I was just I came off contract from Newcastle Jets last season, and I've been a free agent in the off season, so nothing had kind of eventuated in pre season or in the off season. A couple of things kind of fell short at the last minute, and then I had a call from Sean Rooney that used to play here, and he said that the club was looking for a player in my position, and he knew someone that was affiliated with the club, and he's like, would you be interested? And I said, of course. So I knew Sean, and I know Arthur Pappas, who coached in India as well. I know him very well. So they had a lot of good things to say about not just this club, but you know, the country as a whole and the football, how passionate people are here. So it was a no-brainer. It didn't take much convincing to get me over here.
Have you like seen any of the I-League matches before you came in?
Not the I-League. They don't get any coverage of that in Australia. They've shown the ISL before, which is obviously a brand new competition. So in terms of Indian football, that's all I've seen. But from what I hear, it's the I-League's obviously the top competition. And Bengaluru has been around for not so long, but have been very successful. And that's also very appealing. You want to come to a club, you know, probably the best club in the country. So you want to do well for them. And that was also a big tick me to come to such a good club.
I just wanted to ask you, you spoke about your relationship, you that you know Arthur Pappas and Sean Rooney. Could you tell us more about what kind of relation you have with Pappas in particular? Because he was part of the AIFF Youth Academy in India also.
Yeah, so when I was, I played overseas for a few years, and then I came back to Melbourne to kind of restart my career in the A-League, and it took a little bit of time, and I was playing a year and a bit in the local league there, and Arthur came to one of the clubs when I was there. I didn't know him at the time, but I was probably 21 at the time, so I've known him for 7 or 8 years now, and I've only known him as a coach. So he was just beginning his coaching development then, and I was trying to obviously get back into the A-League, and he was very passionate about me getting back to playing at the top level as I've come from overseas. So he was always kind of there pushing me to my limits, because obviously being in the state league, you're semi-professional, but I was always training full-time, and he was a big helping hand of me training full-time and getting back to eventually when I got back to Adelaide United. So he's always been there for good advice, and you know, over the years he's gone from obviously coaching in the NPL to come over here and being very successful. and a lot of people got a lot of good things to say about him here in India. And at the moment, back home, he's getting a very good reputation of becoming a very good coach. He's doing well with his state league team, and they knocked off an A-League side a few weeks back in the cup. So his name's getting thrown about a lot of places, which is good to see, because you know the more better Australian coaches we have, it's going to be good for you know our local football and you know Australian football in general.
You spoke about your time with Adelaide United. One of the standout of time for you, if I'm not wrong, play the AFC Champions League, also reach the quarterfinals there. So how did that all come along?
So I was playing in a local league in Melbourne. Obviously, I was trying to push to get back to A-League because that's you know where I wanted to be and knew where I could be. And a lot of my peers were playing in the A-League or overseas, and a couple of injuries got in the way before going to Adelaide, but eventually I got my chance. I got injury free, and I signed for Adelaide only short term initially, and then I ended up, I think that would have been September, in that December January kind of window, I signed on my 2-year extension, and I signed another 2-year one after that. But probably the best time I've had in terms of football. A lot of good players I played with, and obviously we got to play in the Champions League, which is you know the highest competition you can play out through Asia. So
not on the first Australian team to reach the quarters back then.
No, well, sorry, they had reached the final before I got there,
okay.
And they played in the Club World Cup. So they're obviously a club that's well known for doing very well in the Champions League. So it's like coming here, you got to live up to the expectation. You got to try and keep the club doing well in its competition. So yeah, we got to the quarterfinals. We ended up losing against Bunyakor from Uzbekistan, which was a tough trip, long trip getting there. But playing in the Champions League, you know, I think it's what every team, every player wants to do. You know, playing in Asia because it's the highest competition. You get to play against some of you know the best players around the world, and you know, just you know playing against the likes of Endo from Japan and going to you know South Korea and stuff like that. It's it opens your eyes. It's good. It's you're lucky to be a footballer because you get to see so many places playing football. So, but yeah, 5 years there was brilliant, and I was lucky to have a Spanish coach in my last 2 years, which our coach here, Alberto, knows, and he's now on the coaching staff of the Australian national team. So, Australian football is growing. It's good, but. It was good to get a change as well. Obviously, last season I was at Newcastle and probably didn't work out as well as I wanted it to. And I was at the end of last season, I was looking for a change. And I'm happy that I've come here now because I'm enjoying my football again. So, yeah.
You spoke about the AFC Champions League. So, how do you think now top Premier League stars are also getting into Chinese clubs? And so, will that further increase the competition? Because since the Dallas League, Ramirez is there.
Yeah, there's. I think it's been obviously a lot of things have been talked about in terms of a lot of the big players going over to China. Obviously, a lot of big money, outrageous money. it's a good and a bad thing. I think you know it's obviously good for bringing people to games and you know helping you know certain clubs that have that power to buy those players and you know can probably win them a Champions League or two. But in terms of overall football for the nation, is it going to develop? Help develop the younger players. It's going to give opportunity to players. That's the I guess it's a catch 22. So I don't know. It's good for the short term. In the long term, it's only time will tell if it's going to be good for you know Chinese football. Because I think their ultimate goal is to win a World Cup, and they've been pretty they haven't hid away from that fact. That's their main goal. And we'll see. I think only time will tell. But at the moment, yeah, it's good to see. It's obviously a surprise with a lot of players going to China. But when you get that sort of money, you know, how can you say no to it? So,
how was it when Australian football started? Like, was there pressure to get the big stars from elsewhere or develop your own?
When the A-League started, I was quite young. I would have been 18,
okay.
And I was at my the Australian Institute of Sport, which is a national academy. And I think back then, and it was just more about having a good foundation for the league and being stable, because the league before it got out of control with you know certain clubs being able to spend so much money, and that's obviously why they brought in the salary cap for the A-League. So the first 3 or 4 years, I was kind of absent from the league because I went overseas as well, and I didn't see a lot of it. But by the time I got to season 5 or season 6 of the A-League. yeah, before that they've been Dwight York, because Sydney FC obviously a good big city. There've been some big players that have come, but you know, by season 7, 8, 9, I think the A-League got to a standard where it was really good, and then clubs started to have to look at, you know, bringing some really good quality overseas players, and they did. Obviously Del Piero came, David Villa came only for a short time, but not only just those top tier players, but they started bringing, you know, players that were 27, 28 that have been playing at a high level, you know, in all of Europe, and these players you don't even know about. Like one of the players that came to Adelaide, Marcelo Karuska, played at Galatasaray, played Champions League, European Champions League, you know, against Liverpool, but no one ever heard of him until he came. He's been one of the best players since. So I think clubs are recruiting better now, like scouting properly, taking their time with players. I think early on in that A-League, they kind of rushed into decisions. Like they'd get a Brazilian player just because he was Brazilian, you know, they thought, you know. So now they're doing their due diligence, they're going away, they're looking at players, they're scouting properly, and a lot of the teams are scouting very well now because a lot of good foreigners playing, and they're not just staying for 1 or 2 years, they're staying for 4 or 5 years because they're enjoying the lifestyle, they enjoy the league, and it's good for their family. And Australian football's growing, so it's got, I think it's getting better and better every year. You know, not obviously up and away, but it's you know, improving as we go, so it's been good.
Is it correct? I read somewhere, so your roots are Scottish?
My dad was born in Scotland, my mum's from England. My dad played professionally in Scotland, and then moved out to Australia maybe early 80s, I think. Yeah, just before my brother was born. A lot of my uncles played football back home in Scotland, and it skipped my brother, he didn't really play, so it came to me, and from what I remember, I went overseas when I was probably 6 or 7 with my family, and then when I came back I just wanted to play football because that was all kind of, I just watched it with my dad all the time. You know, when I was little, my dad's obviously Scottish, so they're big Rangers supporters, so I just kind of, you know, glued to the TV watching Rangers.
So you'll be watching today?
I'll definitely be watching today.
And because a lot of Australian players you don't see go abroad and play a lot. Like maybe Tim Cahill was in Millwall before he became a star. So a few of them, but you played in Porto in the youth system, and then it was in Dutch League.
I played in Dutch League, yeah, Venlo. Yeah.
So how did that happen? Like how was the move from Australia to European football as a young?
So I was playing at the Australian Institute of Sport, which is based in Canberra. So I'd moved away from home when I was 16. So I was there for 2 years, and I was back home for like a 2 week break, and I was just training with Melbourne Victory. While to keep fit while I was back home, and they ended up they had a practice match, like a friendly game, just during the week, and I played with them in just for the friendly game because I had some injuries and stuff, so I filled in, and there was a guy that was watching the game, and he was standing with my dad and one of my dad's friends, and my dad didn't know him, and then he just introduced himself to my dad, and he's Portuguese, and his son actually was playing over there already, and his son plays now in Indonesia. He's played at Melbourne Victory, he's played at Perth. So, but before knowing that, he just asked if I had any intentions of going overseas. And of course, every kid wants to play in Europe. It's, you know, no matter where you're from. And I had some footage from my AIS games, had about 10, 15 games put together. And I gave them to him, and he sent them to Porto, and he sent them to Celtic. So Celtic wanted me to go there. But not just because I'm a Rangers fan, but I didn't think Scottish football suited me. I think the Portuguese style was more suited to what I do on the park compared to the Scottish game. So he sent it to Porto, and when Porto found out that Celtic wanted me to go there, they said, "No, bring him here first." So I went there first and ended up signing. What a place, unbelievable, unbelievable club. You set up just. You got everything there. You don't have to, you know, lift a finger. You can, you know, you got to kind of pinch yourself to, you know, see how lucky you are. 1 year there. I signed a 2-year deal with like a 1-year extension, but they changed the structure of the setup of their youth setup and their reserve team, their senior team. So at the end of the season, they changed it in the sense that if you were too old for the youth team, you had to jump straight to the senior team. So that's when you got on loan or you got let go. So that's when I went to Holland.
That was on
on loan. I went to Venlo, and I signed there. Like, so the loan deal was for a year, and then if Porto didn't want me, I could sign on again with Venlo. And that was my first proper, like, senior contract with Venlo. So that was exciting for me, obviously, first one. And, yeah, that's when I think you started learning a lot, because you're playing with men every day, every week. You know, some professionals that have played over 250 games in both competitions in the Dutch League. So being away from home as well, which is obviously, it's kind of made it easier being in Holland, because everyone speaks English pretty much. So it's like, which helped a lot. But yeah, it's just, probably in Holland I played a handful of games, and we got promoted at the end of the season. And it was going to be hard for me to play the next season, just because they brought in five or six players from the top league that had been playing regularly. So then I decided to head back to Australia, because I knew I could go home, I could be like in my own environment, and you know, get back to an A-League club. That was obviously straight away to the plan, but it didn't work out straight away, and everything goes the way you want it to. A couple of injuries got in the way, etc. But yeah, I eventually got back on my feet, and I think everything happens for a reason anyway. It's, you know, you kind of make your own thing, your own path, so it worked out well, and no regrets. Definitely no regrets, and it's been a good journey so far.
Can you tell us about the most cherished moments and the best players you played with across your team?
Cherished moment. I have to say, probably the first one. I got two moments where, like, one where I scored my first goal for the national team, like the Young Socceroos. So obviously playing for your country at any level is a massive achievement. But winning the FFA Cup with Adelaide in the first year that it was brought about. We beat Perth in the final. So that was something special. We won it at our home ground as well, so in front of our fans. That was really good. And in terms of players, playing against Del Piero in his first year with Sydney FC, he was with Sydney.
Sydney,
yeah. I used to watch him when I was a kid. Like, every weekend I used to watch. Juventus is one of my favourite teams as well. So to play against him was an unbelievable thing. Kind of, you don't realise when you're playing against him on the field. Kind of after it, you realise it. So, you know, I waved around to get a photo with him, as any normal kind of supporter does. And he was a gentleman as well. Like, he'd have time for everyone. You know, when he came to Adelaide and he played against us, obviously there's a big Italian community in Adelaide. And he walked around the whole stadium just to sign, took his time. Like, unbelievable. You don't have to do that as a professional. He's done it how many times before? So, yeah, in terms of one of the best players I played against, would have to be him. There's no doubt. For sure.
Coming back to the AFC and the upcoming AFC Cup match, how big is this match for the team, and how is the team prepared?
I think it's I think any competition in Asia is massive. You know, Champions League, AFC Cup, it's a quarter final. You know, you don't realise until you get there on the day. I think you see, like, the people that are coming, the crowd, the build-up, I guess the anticipation. It's like a do-or-die. It's a do-or-die game. You go, okay, you got two games, there's two legs, but, you know, you lose, you're out, you're done, and then you've got a long time to wait till the season starts. So everyone's preparation's been, you know, from the day I got here till, you know, today was kind of our main, like, last training session. We've obviously got two or three more before the game, but they're going to be quite more relaxed. But everyone's been, you know, 110% from coaching staff, medical staff. Players have taken on the coach's instructions. And there's been a lot of instructions, because he's, you know, trying to change the way that the team's playing. And that takes time, you know. We've been able to play maybe four friendly games, which isn't a lot. But from those games, as you can see, players take on the instructions, and, you know, it's all good and well doing it in friendly games, but, you know, you want it to come to fruition in this game coming up on Wednesday. And it's not just big for the club, but, you know, the city, the fans, you want to do well, because there's a big opportunity to go further in the tournament.
Having played a quarterfinals in the Champions League before, how are you helping on the mental front?
I, 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 Nothing yet, really. I think just you kind of let players deal with it themselves, and then I guess when you get close to the game, maybe just that day, that build up, maybe on the park as well. If you know things are getting kind of, I guess if things are moving 100 miles per hour, if people get a little bit nervous, anxious, which is normal for every player. So I think if players don't feel some sort of nerves, then something wrong, I think. But it's about controlling that, and hopefully, yeah, with my experience, and especially Alvaro Rubio in the middle, you know, he's played over 300 games in Spain, so and he's a class player, so how having him there will help settle things down as well. And I think it's just about being in that environment before, you kind of know what is, you can expect certain things to happen. So when they happen, if other people aren't used to it, you can help them out in that sense. But I think there's enough cool heads in the team. We've got enough experience, you know, Sunil and Eugene and you know, Jono at the back, who's been here 2 or 3 years. So there's enough experience around the team to, I think, help anyone that, if in any case they get a little bit rattled, to get them through that little period of the game. But as overall, the team, the collective, the environment's been really, really good.
Last three seasons, in fact, Ashley, the previous coach was here, to play a very utilitarian type of football, whatever works against that team. And with Roca obviously having, you know, Barcelona influence. And
mm-hmm.
So what difference can we expect in terms of game style?
I don't know, because I wasn't here last year, so it's hard for me to say like what the team was doing. And I haven't seen any games from last season. So from what Alberto's brought to the team now is kind of similar to what I had at Adelaide with my Spanish coach, which is, I think he doesn't really look at what other teams are doing. He's more concentrated just on playing that one style, and that's, he's been pretty adamant about that from day one. He, you know, every practice game we've had, every training session has been about a certain way of playing, and he's kind of stuck to that. He could have changed something along the way if he thought if it wasn't working, but he's persisted. From day dot, he said if it's not working now, it'll eventually work. If it takes 2 or 3 games, it takes 2 or 3 games. If it takes 5 games, it takes 5 games. But I think he's confident because he's been doing it for so long, that he has a confidence in us to take his game plan and execute it on the field. So, but in terms of the difference from last year to now, yeah, it's hard for me to say because I haven't seen anything. So,
just one thing to follow up on what you said. You said there are a lot of instructions given by the coach. So, you also played in Portugal, you played in the Dutch league, so which also emphasizes a lot of things on providing you with enough information to work with. So, in that way, has it been a bit easier to?
Yeah, I think for me, it's stuff I've heard before, like from. Not even just, yeah, being, and obviously you get playing in different countries, you always get, you're going to get different instructions from different coaches, so you learn all different things along the way, which has been really good. But from what Alberto's brought in, and I'm always going to go back to what my coach at Adelaide, because they actually know each other as coaches and they're friends, and they're both from Barcelona. So
can you tell the name of the coach?
Josep Gombau. He coached at Kitchi, then he came to Adelaide, and then he went to New York City with the City Group. And now he's back with the national team in Australia, so he's the second assistant. So his style, they're so similar. So everything, like things that I hear from Alberto is what I heard from the start when Gombau came to Adelaide. So for me, it's the process is easier for me. I'm not saying there's a lot of instructions to the players, but they're just new instructions. And for when we were at Adelaide, when Gombau came in, we were like, you know, there's a lot of instructions, and it takes time. It took us, you know, round 10, 9, 10 of the A-League for everything to kind of start clicking. And people were doubting us first 10 games. They're like, nah, it's not working, the style's not working. But round 10 onwards, no one could touch us. Like, we were like literally untouchable. Like, we got to the finals, we got knocked out. But during the season, you know, teams didn't want to play against us because they couldn't get the ball. And I've been on the other end of the stick where you're chasing the game, you know, teams have got all the possession and it's not fun. But when it's your turn and you've got a style that's been implemented from pre-season and you've been practicing the same things over and over, and then it's just like clockwork and you're watching the other team run around trying to get the ball off you, it it's the best thing you can do. It's the most enjoyable football you can play. And the way what he's trying to bring to this club is the most enjoyable football for me anyway, personally.
Cameron, one last thing. Could you describe yourself as a player? What kind of player are you in this time?
So like midfielder or right back? Because I saw both of them.
No, right back. Take that out of the thing as well. So I've always played in midfield. I had to fill in that right back for Adelaide for the majority of the season because a lot of injuries. But always been a midfielder. I guess I've always been like a lot of the system when I was young was 4-4-2, so kind of box to box midfielder. But I guess now systems have changed, especially with Adelaide and that. We kind of played with kind of 1-6, an 8 and a 10, which was 2-6s and a 10, more or less. So always involved in those 2-6s role or a single 6. But, you know, with the 3 in the middle, you got licence because, you know, if one goes, one stays, you know. But in terms of my play, I don't know, it's hard to talk about yourself as a player, but I know I like to obviously keep the ball. I consider myself composing the ball. I like to help the team out playing from the back. And, you know, just reading the game as well, trying not to, I'm quite fit, but try not to, you know, overexert myself, try and read the game from all kind of positions and just keep the game flowing, you know, try not to halter, that's what the coach wants as well, you know, free-flowing, you know, kind of quick movement of the ball. I've kind of always pride myself on my passing as well, so if my passes are going astray, I'm having a bad night, I'll probably get angry, so you might see that. But yeah, my passing is what I kind of pride myself on, and not losing the ball. That's what I've been taught, not to lose the ball in possession and make sure I've always been a good passer of the ball. That's what my dad kind of instilled to me as a little kid, just have a good pass with the ball. And if I can pop up with a few goals, yeah, that'd be nice as well. So I had a lot of goals for me when I was younger, but obviously when you're kind of playing deeper down the field, it's quite far away. But yeah, if I get a chance, why not? I might have to throw Sunil off a penalty or two, see if he'll let me, which I doubt.
I think, out of curiosity, speak Spanish?
Nah, I picked up Portuguese when I was playing in Portugal, but yeah, within a year or a year and a half of living away from Portugal, my Portuguese is gone. Yeah, so, un poquito, a little bit.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Good luck.
Cheers.
All
thank
the best.
You very much.
Lovely.
I'll see you at the game.
So, well, that was Watson speaking to us about his time in football so far and what he's expecting here in Bengaluru.
And the third sound, it was Sudarshan, who has come with us in the podcast before.
Right.
The three of us were the people who went and interviewed him. So we hope you had fun, got to know the player a bit more.
We'll get to know the player a bit more when he starts playing.
Yeah, so you know him a bit more. When he starts playing, you can know more about him on the field later on. So
yeah.
Anytime we get such interviews done, we'll make sure that we put it on the podcast. So, hope you had fun again. And see you soon in a couple of days.
Definitely. Till then, have a great time and enjoy the game.